I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories. Hi, my name is Anna, also known as the Spiritual Midwife, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a midwife and a childbirth educator, and I assist women in optimizing their chances of having an empowering and natural birth experience and a nourishing and healing postpartum. I offer holistic birth preparation and postpartum online courses worldwide for the conscious mama wanting to prepare emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually for her birth and for her postpartum. And if you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com. If you had a natural and empowering birth experience that you would like to share with the world, then you can email me at annathespiritualmidwife@gmail.com, and maybe your story will be featured on the Natural Birth Podcast. Now let's dive into today's episode. Today we have Star. Star is a mama of two from Byron, Australia. Star is a nervous system specialist and a women's work facilitator and a good friend of mine. And I've wanted her to share about her two home births for a very long time. Star had her two daughters almost 20 years apart. Her first daughter in her early 20s and her second daughter in her late 30s. Today we talk about her beautiful births and the importance of fear release, not only for the mama, but also for her partner and support people. Curious about Star? Find her at stardespress.com. Hi, Star, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. I'm so excited to have you here today. You're one of my best friends here in the Byron Shire, and we've been trying our hardest to actually have this conversation for a year since I started the podcast. You were one of the first people I said, hey, I want to talk to you about your births, and you're like, yes, I want to share. But then a year has gone by, crazy COVID, and finally we're here, and I'm so excited to hear your story. So welcome.
Yay. Oh, it's so fabulous to finally be here. Yes, it's been a crazy year, but sometimes we've just got to trust in the perfect divine timing of things. So I'm excited to revisit both of my beautiful birth stories and share any wisdom that I can for your beautiful listeners.
I love it. I love it. So, yes, let's dive on in. Let's not get too caught up in our chatting about us. And let's talk about your two beautiful daughters, Adina and Willow. I know that you birthed your babies quite some time ago. Adina's, in her 20s. And Willow is a young woman to be. But let's really rewind. I want to hear about how you came to the conclusion that you wanted to have a home birth already over 20 years ago.
Beautiful. So yeah, I have two gorgeous daughters, Adina, who's 26, and Willow, who's 9. So almost 17 years between the two. Consciously conceived both of them, 21 when I conceived Adina, and then 22 when she was born. So quite young in the scheme of when women are having babies these days. Didn't really go into that birth initially, conscious conception, but didn't really have any ideas prior to conceiving about what I wanted the birth to look like. But once the conception happened, I just knew straight away. I didn't know anything about home birth, But there was just a deep inner knowing that I knew it wasn't going to be in hospital. It was not the place I wanted to be. I've never really liked hospitals. I've not had a lot of experience with them, but I just instinctively knew it wasn't the place for me personally to be birthing my baby. So then I went on a big journey with my partner at the time and explored home birth. And it was just a big yes, straight up. I definitely had a lot of negative kind of input from my family of origin. They weren't supportive. My brother and his partner were 6 months further ahead in their journey, and I remember visiting them in the hospital when they'd had their child, and my brother like really went at me and said I was being really irresponsible, and yeah, you can imagine. And I didn't take it on. I was like, you're coming from a place of not knowing or ignorance. You haven't explored or even looked into home birth. So I didn't sort of take it on. I was really strong, which I look back at now and think, wow, at 22, that was pretty incredible considering I didn't really have much support around me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really excited to explore home birth, got really excited, met a few different midwives, ended up going with this beautiful midwife who had a lot of professional experience. She'd been a midwife for a really long time, and she'd also birthed 4 babies at home. So she was just the right woman for me, and very spiritual, and, yeah, had a really beautiful support system in her. And as I was sort of diving into exploring home birth, I came across water birth, which, you know, that's 26 years ago now, kind of wasn't really such a huge thing. It certainly was being done, but there wasn't much about it. Wasn't so much about it like there is now. So I can't remember the name of the book I read, but I read this beautiful book, and it was talking a lot about the Russian births and births of dolphins. And I was like, this was the reason. This was the thing for me. And the initial kind of reason about wanting to birth in the water was purely initially coming from the desire to bring my baby into the world as calmly as possible for her or him. Didn't know at the time, to come into an environment, come from an environment of water into the water, just felt so beautiful and nourishing. And then in hindsight, actually being in the water as a medium for pain relief was incredible. So then I sort of had these other reasons why I was so passionate about it once I actually birthed in the water. So yeah, the birth was amazing. I feel really grateful to have had the support of 2 amazing midwives at my birth and my partner at the time. It was about an 8-hour birth, which I think for a first birth is pretty amazing.
Beautiful
experience. I don't want to share too much about that one. I'd rather go a bit more deeply into Willow's birth. So yeah, so kind of advocate for home birth really early on, more of an advocate for women to birth where they feel most comfortable. I know home birth isn't the right choice for everybody. I think it's important that wherever you are, you feel really safe. Mm. And for me, that was always going to be at home. Mm. For some women, that's going to be different. And then obviously, yeah, 17 years later, again, consciously conceived with a beautiful new partner. And it was a no-brainer straight up that I'd be having my baby at home again in water. And my partner was incredibly supportive of that. He did have some fears. He'd had a really good friend. He's from the UK. He'd had a really good friend that had a stillbirth. And it wasn't that he was anti-home birth. He just had some fears. But we did some beautiful processing together. And, you know, he was able to share that in a group of other men with a facilitator and just have that sort of witnessed and seen. And, yeah, he was really supportive of all of the choices that I made throughout that kind of journey. Again, same thing. We kind of knew home birth, we knew water birth, the journey of finding, you know, the perfect right midwife for us. And again,
I just really want to like stop you there and just like, you know, that is such a pivotal thing that you just shared, that your partner recognized that he held fear and that he actually did something about it. He shared about it amongst other men. There was a facilitator. There was, you know, this is something that I think most women and just the general population don't consider or think about. Mm. And it's so important that our partners or any support people, any person in the birth space, don't come to the birth space holding fear. Right? It's so important.
Definitely.
So I get goosebumps just talking about this. Like, I love that you share this. And I think it's such an important gem right here, right now, that I don't want to just, you know, go past. I really want to talk about this because, you know, for anyone listening right now, it's important that you discuss with your partner or support people. Are they fearful of birth? Is there anything that they're worried about? And that it's not just you, obviously, it's so important that you look at your fear, like pivotal.
Mm.
But it's also important that people attending your birth have looked at their fears and that they work through them before so that they don't bring that energy into your birth space.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you for digging out that little bit of gold. We ended up, I was sort of working in the realm of pre and postnatal yoga, you know, and I'd had a baby, like there was certainly no fear for me. I had deep trust in my body and my body's wisdom and ability to birth. But we ended up doing this beautiful 4-hour workshop held by two beautiful women, which was sort of yogic tools for active birth. But at the end, we got separated into a circle of women and a circle of men and with the facilitator each. And we both groups got asked the same questions. And then we came back together. And yeah, that was a real pivotal thing for him to actually share that in that space and be seen in that. And it really helped to alleviate and shift the energy of that fear so that that didn't then get brought into our birthing environment. So I'm really pleased that you kind of paused that, because it is really important to address that to anybody in that space that is supporting you, has looked at their own fear as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Because fear, obviously, as we know, or as you know, or maybe the listeners don't know, you know, fear and the fear response is really going to impact how the birth progresses and manifests. So
absolutely.
We want to shift that as much as we can. At least look at that and bring that and share that, you know, with each other and with the people that are going to be there. So, beautiful.
May I ask what his fear was?
The fear was because he'd had a friend that had a stillbirth, or a stillborn baby at a hospital. It wasn't even a home birth. It was also new for him, and he didn't really know anything about home birth. And I guess there was just that wanting to make sure that everything was going to be safe. He wanted to have a healthy baby. So it was more just kind of like the fear of the possibility that that can happen, and just actually voicing that and being, you know, being able to share that in itself was really healing. Nothing else needed to happen other really than it just being shared in a space with other men. And I think what was so powerful about that experience for him is hearing some of the other men's fears as well, kind of normalize the fact that we can have these fears and it's okay and it's all welcome, and we just need to, you know, hold space for that and be seen in that and witnessed in that, and have the facilitator share whatever beautiful words of wisdom she shared, because that was obviously sacred men's space. I don't really know what happened other than he shared that, and that shifted something in him.
I love that. And I love again that, you know, that's also such a beautiful gem you just shared there, that a lot of the times just actually voicing your fears, whether it is your own fears or for the person that's supporting you, you know, them sharing their fears, just actually voicing it, giving it a voice, letting it be heard by others and mirrored, you know, maybe other people feel the same. That is like the biggest part.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you don't even have to have a solution or minimize that risk or anything. It's just about actually sharing it, talking about it. I love that.
Thanks for sharing. And I think just that sense of not feeling like you're not alone in that, you know. And I think, you know, with our unique situation, I had already, you know, had a really powerful first birth, and I'm a pretty strong woman with, you know, strong views about things. And I could see how I could really maybe railroad that experience and go, this is what it's going to look like and this is what we're going to do, and he could go along with that, and he totally supported all of the choices that I was sort of sharing, this is what I'd like to do. I think being able to sit with other men and share his experience and hear the other fears just gave him a way of feeling a little bit more kind of involved and connected in the process of what we were doing as well, which is really important. That was a really beautiful a beautiful experience. And again, I didn't really do that for me. I joined us up for that session, you know, for him, and it was, I'm really pleased that I did, because he received a lot from that.
Beautiful.
So going back, like, you know, obviously choosing midwife is a big part of the process of having a birth at home. At that point, 9 years ago, home birth wasn't in the system. It was kind of they were going through. It was imminent. They were sort of going through the red tape. So I still had to go down the sort of independent midwife path, and things were really shifting at that time. I feel so grateful actually that we got a home birth midwife to actually come to our birth, because things shifted quite quickly after that birth, as far as just legality and logistics and Yeah. How things changed here in Australia. But yeah, we found a beautiful midwife. Again, we sort of connected with a few, and it was a no-brainer. There was one that we just both really, really gelled with. And again, I seem to pick midwives that have a lot of professional and personal experience. She was an amazing woman originally from Norway who had, she was an older lady. She must have been in her early 60s or late 50s. She'd had 9 babies.
Wow.
8 of them at home. The last 2 free births, just a wealth and very spiritual. Again, just really, gentle, everything that we really wanted in a midwife. And so, had a beautiful journey with her. And I was due in January. So again, another summer baby. My first baby was born in February. I had a pretty, I had a few sort of issues throughout the birth, just a bit of physical stuff, but had a pretty cruisy experience. I was a lot older. I was 22 with the first birth. I was nearly 40. I was 39. Definitely noticed the difference, just in the body, but also know that I had a lot more, hopefully a lot more wisdom to draw on, and made really similar choices. I look back at the 2 births and, at 22, I look back and I'm pretty amazed at how switched on I was then, or just the choices I made at that age with no one else around me really doing that. So it's sort of nearly 39, choosing to conceive and have a baby again. The path was pretty similar and the birth was amazing. And when I was sort of reflecting on maybe what I wanted to speak to today and, what I could offer the listeners, a few things really stood out for me that I feel were really pivotal to me having the experience that I did. And one of them was a really clear vision of what I desired and a daily mantra of that. And I had to reflect because it's been 9 years. I'm like, what exactly was that kind of daily mantra? And it was we, because it's not just me, it's me and the baby. Mm. We are having a beautiful, blissful, 4-hour water home birth filled with love and light.
Wow.
So that was my daily kind of, I was constantly sort of saying that, visualizing that. 4 hours, I wanted there to be, I didn't want it to be so quick that the endorphins hadn't had a chance to kick in, because I know sometimes when they're really fast, it can be quite extreme for women because the pain relief kind of system hasn't really switched in. So for whatever reason, 4 hours was what came through for me.
Yeah.
That was really powerful. And another practice that I did, and I'm not going to say I did it every day, but I did it most days, which is the practice of yoga nidra, which is a guided relaxation and visualization process. And I did a specific kind of birth related one. So I was sort of bringing in that mantra and really then visualizing and really as much detail as I could, seeing the birth going the way I desired. And they're 2 tools that I feel really, were really pivotal in me experiencing the birth that I did. But also just yoga nidra is such a beautiful practice of relaxation and nourishment, so that sort of really fed me as well, so I felt really calm throughout the pregnancy. And then leading up to the actual birth of Willow, so she's 9 now, so it was 9 years ago. It was a really beautiful experience, incredibly empowering. Again, just reminded me of the innate wisdom of the body, and that I guess that was something that I experienced at 22. I remember coming out of that experience on the other side, reflecting back at the power of that, and what it really seeded in me back then was, wow, if I can do that, I can do anything. Really, it was a really empowering experience at such a young age. And so just being able to draw on that again, for the second birth, I just knew, there was no question in me. There was no fear. There was such a deep level of trust in my body and my body's ability. So there wasn't really a backup plan. I was really open to if we needed to transfer, then that was what we would do. I really trusted my midwife. I knew if she made that call, we would trust. But it wasn't even a scenario. I didn't have a birth plan. I hadn't, it was just not even there. It was this is where we're having the baby. I was just so clear that we were going to have this beautiful water home birth. So on the day of the birth, My beautiful sister had lent me this really slinky, tight red dress to do some birth photos, and we just hadn't done it. You know, it was like, got to do those birth photos, got to do those birth photos. And then finally, it's like, okay, we've got the space. Let's do these birth photos. So we went down to a beautiful beach in Byron Shire, Watergoes, and took some gorgeous photos. Little did I know that 6 hours later, I'm going to have a baby in my arms. So we're taking these beautiful photos, and then I had a bit of a show. So I had a little bit of the plug come away, and I was like, oh, but not having any sensations or anything at that point. Called my midwife. She was an hour away, so she was up the coast, so I knew she had a bit of travel to kind of get to us. And she was like, okay, anything else going on? I'm like, no. She's like, okay, just keep me posted. I'm like, okay, because I knew that it still could, you know, didn't mean things were going to happen then and there. So we finished the photo shoot and it was beautiful. I feel really grateful for those photos. And then I think we went into town, into Byron Bay, and had some food, and then we went home. And I was just starting to kind of feel something, you know, a little bit of sensation, nothing that I would call discomfort or pain or hardly even registering. There was just I was really in my womb space. So I think there was just kind of an awareness of something happening there. But again, still no real feelings that I was going to birth soon, so much so that my nearly 17-year-old went for a sleepover at her best friend's house 20 minutes away. There was no kind of thing on our radar that we were going to have a baby that night. And then, you know, the evening progressed, and I think my partner was starting to kind of get a bit like, ooh. And I remember he said, I'm going to just go to the shop, to the supermarket, and just make sure we've got enough snacks. We had plenty of stuff. He didn't need any more food, and I didn't eat any food anyway, but he was just like, I'm just going to do something. And
oh, he's a man of wisdom.
Yeah, he just wanted to like, yes,
friend.
He just wanted to make sure that it was all, just in case. And I remember just sitting on a birth ball, and again, kind of noticing stuff, but nothing major. And just to backtrack, like one of the things that I really wanted to experience in this birth that I didn't. So with the first birth, it was a beautiful home birth, a really beautiful natural birth. But there was one little bit of intervention in that birth, which was my waters didn't break. Mm-hmm. And they did get broken manually by the midwife. And when Adina came out, she was kind of like what they would consider overcooked. Like it was really time. Mm-hmm. And I had this vision that I really wanted to have the experience of that gush of water. I was like, I wouldn't, you know, what you see in the movies. I was like, I want that gush. I want to feel that experience because I didn't have that with the first one. So I kind of had that vision, right? So just that's important to know because of what happens. So Ross comes back from the shop and I said to him, oh, I'm a bit tired. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe I'll go to bed and, you know, just get some sleep because we just never know. And then I was like, actually, no, let's make love because that might, you know, that might get things juicy and get things moving along. And he's like, okay. So we went up to bed, big girls, you know, at a sleepover. So we had the space to ourselves and we laid down on the bed and we just started to kiss. And literally within a few minutes, I heard this like really loud pop. Like it was so tangible. And I was like, did you hear that? And he said, no. And then I just gushed all over the bed. It was so like, considering I really wanted this experience, it just like outlived everything that I'd imagined. So I was just like, big pop and all this water. And I'm like, oh my goodness, my water's broke. It was really exciting. So I quickly kind of went into the toilet and just, you know, let the water out. And I think my partner called the midwife. And I remember talking to her while I was sitting on the toilet. And she's like, so what's happening? And I'm like, well, I'm just letting you know my water's just broke. And she's like, and what else? Anything? I was like, no, I'm not really experiencing anything. And then I was like, hang on. Actually, maybe, so I call them expansions over contractions. I was like, I think I'm maybe having an expansion now. Something's going on, but like I'm talking to you. It's nothing intense. Huh. She's like, okay, just again, you know, keep me kind of in the loop. And so we knew things were kind of going to happen, but again there wasn't this sort of time frame in my head. I was like, 8 hour birth, maybe it'll be something similar. So I still felt like there was lots of time. So the waters broke about 9:30 in the evening, and so I just went into the bedroom and Ross was like, okay, maybe I'll just sort of make sure the birth pool's ready and everything, you know, he's just kind of doing the doing mode, you know, being yes. The man, which is beautiful. So I went into the bedroom and just got onto the floor and within 10 minutes it was a very different scenario. It was incredibly quick. It went from, yes, speaking to my midwife, nothing's happening, to holy shit, something's happening. And so I was kind of just on the floor on my hands and knees, sort of doing hip circles and stuff and sort of resting. And yeah, it's sort of like there was no timing of expansions, like it just happened so quick. And I think, yeah, within sort of 10 or 15 minutes, it was pretty clear that things were happening. So I was like, you got to call the midwife. You've got to get Adina home. She's got to come back from the sleepover. What's happening with the birth pool? So my beautiful darling man is like running around. Midwife had an hour to get there. Adina managed to get dropped home by the mum. So she was probably home within half an hour and he's trying to fill the birth pool because it takes a bit of time. So he's kind of going in there and coming back to check on me. And I was just really in my own space. And I remember the moment when my daughter Adina came into the room and, you know, like, again, it's all new for her, you know, was really conscious that we wanted her to be there. She wanted to be there, you know, what beautiful way for a woman to experience birth.
Yeah.
And how beautiful and natural the experience is. But I could see she didn't really know what to do with herself. And I remember her coming over and maybe touching me on the back and I just kind of put my hand up like I was very much in my I was just really in my space. I'm like, yeah, I didn't want anyone to touch me or come near me. And I said, maybe you can, you know, time the in-between. And she like gave her something to do.
Yeah.
And it just got progressively quicker and quicker and quicker and faster and faster. And, you know, like there wasn't a lot of space. It was happening really quickly. And I do remember, I mean, I didn't notice it at the time, but of course, when we reflect, I definitely remember the moment of transition, that kind of like, because I remember thinking, when can I get in the pool? Mm. Oh my God, this is really intense. Holy fuck, I'm going to have to go to the hospital. I can't do this for another 8 hours. You know, like all of that doubt kind of dropped in of like, oh my God, this is really full on. And eventually I remember Ross coming in and saying the room's ready. And I went into that space and it was, you know, dark and candles and the pool. And I remember it. And my partner definitely reflected back to me that it was very palpable, the shift in me from that energy of like a little bit of not panic, but maybe moving towards like, oh my God, to that like, So I got in the water and I just stayed in the pool and eventually my midwife arrived. Again, time just becomes, it's not linear, I have no idea, but she arrived at some point and, you know, she could see just by coming into the space that things were progressing quite quickly. At one point I put my finger inside me and I'm like, oh my God, I can feel the head. And she's like, she wanted me to kind of put my middle finger in. She's like, where? And I'm like, I can't really tell. I said, I'm happy for you to go in there. And so she went in and felt and she said, it's pretty imminent. Ross, maybe you want to get in the pool. And again, not at that moment, but later he reflected to me. He still thought it was like, you know, again, tomorrow.
Yeah.
So when she said, you're going to have a baby in an hour, he was like, oh my God. So he got in the pool with me and we also had another beautiful sister, like a really good friend who was living with us at the time, who we'd invited to be at the birth as well, but she was working in town. She got home at midnight from her shift working and Adina was there and she was there. And I just remember that moment of like, sort of that moment of like, okay, this is it, you know, like I could feel my body opening. And that was something that I also wanted to share, is like the whole time when I was experiencing the expansions, as much as I possibly could, I was really allowing my body to really go with that and open to that rather than sort of fear it or resist it or clench or tighten. And something that I experienced that, you know, even now if I close my eyes and go back to that moment, it's just like mind-blowing. But I really feel in one of the expansions that I felt my cervix dilate like centimeters, like that I felt my body open to such a degree. And I just kept saying open, you know, like there was that sort of word that I was saying to myself, like just open, surrender. And I really felt my body do that. It was, really, really beautiful. Still brings me to a bit of emotion actually, because it was really special to feel that trust in my body and to feel my body open and just do what it's naturally built to do. So then it's kind of, you know, we're at that really intense point. I could feel the head, and you know, there's that beautiful kind of, the head comes out a little bit and the head goes back in a little bit. At that point, I was leaning up against the side of the pool, kind of in a squat. And yeah, it probably was maybe a few sort of expansions and breaths, and then Willow came out. And originally there was sort of this sort of idea that maybe Ross would be involved in some way in that, and he would maybe, you know, catch Willow. Mm. But I was like in full primal mama power, and I just grabbed my baby and I brought her up to my chest, and he was just there, and, you know, beautiful big smile on his face. And yeah, it was just, yeah, such a beautiful, beautiful moment. And the birth in itself was 3 hours. So wow. From the waters breaking to her coming in at 12:30, it was 3 hours. And it's I think about that mantra, which I called in a 4-hour birth, and I ended up having a 3-hour birth. So I feel that was really powerful. And the midwife was beautiful. She was really non-invasive. She pretty much just left me to do my thing. What did happen afterwards was that Willow was having some struggle breathing. And, but again, I felt so safe and held and just in deep trust of my midwife. She did have to give Willow quite a lot of oxygen. Again, I knew that if there was a call that we maybe had to go to hospital, that I would trust her. I remember just saying, is my baby all right? Is my baby all right? And yeah, everything was beautiful and fine. It took about 10 or 15 minutes for us to even see if it was a boy or a girl. We were just in that moment. And yeah, eventually they helped me to kind of come out of the pool. I had a very short umbilical cord, and because there was some, I mean, we weren't choosing to have a lotus birth. I had been interested in that. My partner was a bit like, I'm not sure. My 17-year-old was like, please don't do that. Look, if I'd have wanted to make that choice, then I would have, but I didn't feel really passionate about it. There was definitely probably a good 15 minutes or longer. I can't really remember the time frame that we still had that attached. But what ended up happening was, because there was the breathing difficulties, it was kind of getting in the way of the midwife wanting to really work with Willow. So in the end, yeah, Ross cut the cord, and that was really beautiful and sacred. And maybe after about an hour, Willow nuzzled up and had her first feed, had her first breastfeed, which flowed really beautifully. And the midwife chose to stay that night. I mean, it was quite late by that stage. So we just set her up. Ross set her up on a bed downstairs, and me and him went into our king size bed and put Willow. We co-slept. So we had Willow in between us. I don't think we slept much that night. I think we were just gazing beautifully at this like little miracle. Little beautiful girl. And one of the most vivid memories is, I remember once Willow was born, my beautiful big girl, Adina, just sobbed. And sobbed and sobbed. It was really, really moving for her. I think there was a lot of emotion around, you know, at 17, thinking she was never going to have a sibling. So there was that, like, oh my God, I've got like a little sister. But also, I think just, witnessing birth at that age, which I know at one point would have just been so normal in our cultures and tribes to just be seeing your mother or your sister or your cousin or somebody in the community to give birth. It was just such a natural thing. And so, in some ways, I feel like there was a real healing in my lineage for her to have been born at home, to see her sister born at home, and just to see that birth. You know, I mean, things happen and things can go pear-shaped, and sometimes hospital is the place to be. But I just feel really grateful to have, for her to have had that witnessing. And now she's keen to have her babies in that way and really trusts her body, which just feels really healing for our lineage. So, so grateful for that whole experience.
Wow, beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And, you know, I love that too, you know, that you share how Willa did need some help from the midwife to help her with her breathing, and that, and this is one of the fears that some people have having a home birth, thinking that what if something goes wrong, right? And again, with a skilled midwife, you know, we're trained for all of these emergencies that can happen anywhere, whether that's home or in the hospital, in the birth center. We can help babies breathe. We can help mamas who bleed. We can help if a baby gets stuck, you know, if there's a breach or if there's a shoulder dystocia or all these different things. Mm. You know, we're skilled in that. And it's so important to know that sometimes those things happen and they can happen anywhere.
Mm.
And they can be handled by a skilled birth professional, whoever that is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the thing. That's one of the key things for me. And I've mentioned this word a few times throughout our share today, which is that sense of trust, you know, like choosing the right, you know, midwife or healthcare professional to me is such an important part of the process. It's the innate trust you have in yourself, which is paramount, but then having a sense of trust in, you know, who you're choosing to support you. And I just so trusted both of the midwives, but particularly with Willow, and having that little moment of like, is everything okay? I just so deeply trusted her and her, like there wasn't one point that I felt scared, even though later when we reflected, it was, you know, we were this close to transferring.
Yeah.
But I never felt that, like just the way she held the energy and held the space. Yeah, I just felt such trust in her. And again, like I said, if we'd have needed to make that call, I fully trusted her to make that call. But I mean, she had so much experience, she had so much wisdom and knowing, and like you shared, you know, this is what you're trained to do, and those things can happen in any environment.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you so much for sharing that, Star. Now, I would love to know if you had a first-time mama in front of you right now who's about to have her first baby and she really wants to have a natural and empowering birth experience, what advice or pearls of wisdom would you give to her?
Great question. I think something that's really important, and we did touch on this, is to really take the time to go in and practice some self-inquiry around what you may be carrying around your feelings towards birth, and understanding that some of what you're carrying, whether there is fear or stuff that comes up, could actually be yours, but actually may not. You may be carrying this through your lineage. You may be carrying this through experiences that you've heard. There's this bizarre thing that I notice that happens, which saddens me in a way, is that I often notice that women who have had birth experiences that perhaps didn't go the way they desired or were quite traumatic really want to share that. And definitely there's a need and a space where women can share that. But often I see that being shared to first-time pregnant women, and it just can perpetuate and create more fear. And I'm not saying to not be aware that things can happen, but to just really stay in your own space, in your own power, and to really sit with, you know, are there any fears? And if there are, to find a way to work with them and to process them. And that may be doing stuff with you and yourself, but also to seek support in your community with somebody. You know, there are beautiful women that work specifically in that realm. I think that's really crucial to make sure as much as you possibly can to go into the birth, having really dealt with, again, as much as you can, any of those sort of things that may inhibit you actually having the birth that you truly desire.
Yeah.
So that would definitely be something that I think is really important. And again, it may be also what's going on with your partner or people in the space as well. So I think that's really important. Again, the word that keeps coming up that we've used a lot is trust. Really, again, as much as you can, coming into a place of deep trust in your body's ability. This is, women have been giving birth for millions of years before us. This is what our body is made to do. So if we can move beyond a little bit of societal conditioning and fear around birth and the medicalization of birth, and remember that this is what our body is designed to do, to trust that, to open to that, that would definitely be something as well. And another thing that comes up for me is, because I've had a lot of experience teaching women who are pregnant, teaching them yoga, prenatal yoga, something that I always offer in those classes, and I just think it's such a pearl of wisdom for a woman to experience throughout pregnancy, is our culture doesn't generally give us tools on how to be with strong sensations,
yeah,
how to be with pain. I generally don't use that word when I think about birth. I certainly never use it in a prenatal class. I use strong sensations or discomfort.
Mm.
Pain, that word straight away has a connotation, and we, you know, each of us are going to have our own relationship with that word, and it can take us down a negative spiral. Mm. So something that I used to always bring into the classes would be some kind of practice where we can actually experience what it is to be with strong sensations, and then what tools can we access to help us stay with them rather than disassociate. So it might have been sound, it might have been the breath, it might have been a visualization. You know, we'd bring sort of a yogic tool in, but you could find other ways, music, whatever it happens to be. I mean, the breath is perfect because it's with us all the time. We can always drop into that. But just to have that practice during the pregnancy of being with something that's strong and not wanting to run away from it. Yeah. Because when we're actually giving birth and those expansions, contractions, whatever you want to call them, we can't deny that they're intense. Yeah. They're big. They're full on. And what can happen is we can want to run away from those. We want to disassociate. We want to move away. Mm. And, you know, the womb, the uterus is a muscle. It contracts and expands. You know, like, it's like any muscle. Like, we want to, as much as we can, allow it to do what it's doing. And if we contract and go into fear, then it's just going to tighten and hold, which is eventually, essentially, potentially going to create a longer birth. You know, like, it can create that intervention of, yeah, you know, thing, you know, if your body's not opening. So if we know what it is to be with those strong sensations in the pregnancy, then we can kind of go, well, what tools? Oh, sound really works great for me. You know, sounding is such an amazing tool anyway. Breath actually really, you know, what actually really helps me to stay fully here? And look, if we can go to the next stage, which would be to even welcome it,
welcome it,
because it's one step away from you meeting your beautiful baby. So if we can be with the sensations, welcome it, and find a way to, yeah, really navigate that. I just think that's a really amazing tool, because at the end of the day, the body knows what to do. I mean, there are cases where women give birth in a coma. The body does what the body does. It is the mind that's going to get in the way.
Absolutely.
So if we can bring some mindfulness practices in and some ways to just practice being with strong sensations in pregnancy, again, I just think that's absolute gold. So they're my little pearls.
Love it, and I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much, Star, for coming on the Natural Birth Podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, such a welcome. Thank you for listening, and it's, yeah, so really beautiful to revisit and share those amazing experiences once again.
Yeah, such potent rites of passages,
big time.
In your life.
Absolutely.
And it really, I mean, again, another pearl of wisdom. It never leaves you. It really forms you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's such a pivotal experience in a woman's life, and that's why it's so important to actually prepare for it and to really take it seriously and not give your power away and not say, oh, they will take care of me, or, you know, but yeah, to claim this rite of passage, make it your own. And
That's a beautiful, I mean, I'm a big fan of really bringing back rite of passage, and you just made me go back to that, you know, as a 22-year-old maiden, you know, to be initiated through birth into motherhood, like, wow, like, it's, you know, all of the rites of passage we experience as women are big in their own way, whether it's menarche or motherhood or moving into menopause, but going from maiden to motherhood is massive. It's such a big, big change. And yeah, to really honor that and to really prepare for that, and then to really have that witnessed and honored even when baby's earth side, I think is really, really important, because it's such a big change to go from single woman maiden into, you know, looking after a baby and what all that entails and how it changes us as a woman. So yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please share it. Grade it on iTunes and leave a comment. If you want to connect on social media, you can find me on Facebook as The Spiritual Midwife or on Instagram as the_spiritual_midwife. Thank you for listening.